Olmsted is obviously significant in Seattle's history. I mean, they were invited here in 1903 along with Portland, and they laid out the plan that makes Seattle's park system what it is today. Now, Seattle's growing a lot, and so there isn't a lot of the Olmsted vision north of 85th today because the city didn't extend. But it laid out our park and boulevard system, and some of our greatest parks have the Olmsted legacy. And there's been varying recognitions of that over the years. Because we had such a huge capital development program beginning in 68, and there was a civic design commission made up of pretty prominent architects and landscape architects and people in the city, as our staff came in with plans to update and improve parks, they began to question, you know, have you looked back from whence those parks came? You need to understand the historical context before you start changing. So there was some recognition of our legacy. In 1980, the Junior League in Seattle got a letter from the Junior League in Buffalo, New York, that said, we have a crisis in an Olmsted Park. We're trying to assemble people from around the country that may have some interest in this and support. Would you come to a meeting? Junior League got this and said, Olmsted Parks doesn't mean really anything to us. They sent the letter off to the park department. And Walter Hundley, as I've talked about him previously, you know, was sort of a former budget guy, was fairly frugal. We didn't travel very much. But he got this letter, and something in the letter spoke to him, and he said to me, his lieutenant for development, he says, this is something I think we ought to do. We got on a plane, we went back to Buffalo, New York. We had no personal contacts with the people having this meeting. We went to this meeting, and that was the beginning. That was the genesis of what became the National Association for Olmsted Parks. So eventually, the National Association hired an executive director. And so I thought here was an opportunity to get people familiar with this. And I put out both a news release, and I grabbed onto some mailing lists, garden clubs and other things. Noteworthy citizens, mainly garden clubs actually, had no idea, you know, if I could get people to turn out to a lecture of some unknown guy, the head of National Association of Olmsted Parks. 160 people showed up. And while I didn't know most of the people there, I recognized many of their names. And it was as an outgrowth of that that we then put someone under a contract, a citizen that we'd come to know, Nancy Becker, who's still around today. And she sort of became the first president of Seattle's Olmsted Parks. And that was 1984. Mm-hmm. 1984, we had a conference of the National Olmsted Group. So it must have been sometime between 1980 and 1984 that we formed up the group, because they needed some organizational capacity that we created to have this national conference that came out. And in the context of that conference that we had here, Someone looked at our park system and said, outside of Boston and New York and possibly Chicago, we have the best preserved park system, Olmsted Park system in the country. And that sort of developed this pride of us. And people said, how is it that you in Seattle? And I think what happened, if you look at our history, and I'm not really a historian, but Seattle evolved out through annexations. I think the city, as I said, when Olmsteds were here, was 85th going to the north. I don't think the southerly boundary changed much, but we sort of grew to the north. And I think we basically, rather than messing up our old historic parks, changing them out, we managed to accommodate changing recreational styles and needs and active sports as the city expanded northward by buying more parkland and creating the ball fields.